So perhaps many of you are parents, and if you're not parents of little ones, you had parents. And if you didn't have parents, please see me after this service. But you know, all of us have some kind of association with little ones, right? Could be cousins, could be nephews, nieces, but children are all around us. So I want you to kind of think this through with me and see if you can relate to this scenario. Your child or someone's child, you've got this thing you want them to do, some chore that you want them to do, and you explain in great detail exactly how you want this done, what you expect out of it, the end results, maybe how long you expect it to take, but you're going to give them all this detail exactly what you want them to do. And, of course, what do we always ask then? You understand me, right? And what's the answer? Yes, yes, I understand. So what happens? They go off. Hopefully they go off to do the chore. They come to you afterward, and I'm all done, and you go check it out, and what do you find? Yeah, I hear chuckles. Usually it's something other than what you told them, right? Something completely, completely contrary. You know what I'm talking about. Well, you know, it doesn't just happen to children. Sometimes us adults can be just as guilty of not quite hearing all the details. Being a real fanatic of technology, as many of you know, I can't tell you the number of times that I've explained to somebody in detail what exactly they need to do on their computer, for example, only to have them come back later and say, man, I erased a whole bunch of files, or I deleted a bunch of folders, or the computer crashed, I got this big blue screen, something went wrong. It's because they didn't quite follow the details. You know, I've heard from many wives that husbands are sometimes not good at hearing details. I always tell Kathy, now you just dreamed it last night. You think you told me. Yeah. I came across this story, which I really thought kind of illustrated this point really well. It was the first week of basic training, and this Army drill sergeant, he was explaining what was in store for his squad, exactly what was going to happen over the course of the next 2 months. And one of the young privates raised his hand and says, "Sergeant, when do we get our guns?" Well, the drill sergeant quickly corrected him, "Private, we don't have guns in the Army. We use the M16A1 military assault rifle. If I ever catch any one of you calling these things guns, I'll have you drop and give me 50 push-ups. Now then, Private, repeat your question." And the young man nodded and said, "Yes, sir, Sergeant. When do we get our guns?" Well, he repeated the question, right? But you know, sometimes we just don't get it. We're just, you know, quite frankly, in most cases, it's because we're just not paying attention, right? It's not important to us, you know. We've all got our excuses, but sometimes we just don't get it. Well, you know what? The same is true sometimes when it comes to spiritual matters, spiritual things. You know, perhaps you've experienced this too. You go out and you share the good news with somebody, and you give it to them in just the most basic, detailed explanation, and you think you've really given it to them, you know, in a way that they could understand it. And what do? They come back, "Well, I think I need to change some things in my life first before I can get right with God." You know, they have all these excuses. They didn't get the message from you. There's nothing you can do to get saved. You just need to trust in what Jesus has done for you. You think you've explained it so well and so clearly, and they just don't get the details of it. You know, and it's just true with so many different aspects of our lives spiritually. When God tries to give us the details and we just don't get it, we go off in another direction. Perhaps you've experienced it. I'm sure many of us have. Well, you know, there's sometimes when God doesn't want to give us all the details. Sometimes God has what I've called the mysterious or the mystery of God's wisdom. I've called it God's secret wisdom, is what I've titled it here. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you're not already there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul is going to show us that there is a mystery sometime to God's wisdom. And as we've already seen in our past studies leading up to this morning, Paul is addressing a problem in the church with what? See if you've been paying attention to details here. There's a problem of unity. Exactly. There was this major problem of unity. There were factions in the church, you know, that some people wanted to follow Apollos, some wanted to follow Cephas or Peter. You know, they all had their favorites that they wanted to follow. And Paul says that because of your personal pride and your personal interests, there's all these faction, there's disunity there. And that's what he's trying to address here. You know, we've seen that it's just like the Jews. There are some people who are looking for signs. They want something to prove to them that God is real, that God can, in fact, do what he claims to do. There are some people that are like the Gentiles. You know, they like to just sit around and debate and argue about all the different facts of life and the purpose of life. And there's people like that that try to figure it all out. They want to try to understand God's wisdom. And yet they can't. And the reason is because God's wisdom is so far superior than our wisdom. Thank God for that, right? God's wisdom is so much more superior. Paul was so highly respected within the community there, but even he was the first to admit that he didn't understand God's wisdom. He didn't understand the power sometimes of God and why he did certain things. I'd like to begin here with verse 1 of chapter 2 just to keep us in context of where we're at and to kind of bring us back up to speed of where we're at here. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I, when I come to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so now Paul is going to, with that, he's going to now build on that and show us that sometimes there is a mystery to God's wisdom. Sometimes God only allows certain people to understand the reason why he does certain things, and he'll withhold from others why he doesn't tell them why he's doing certain things. There's times when God has what we will call a secret wisdom, and people are just not going to figure out what God's thinking or understand why he does certain things. And so with that, we pick up with verse 6. He says, yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and his hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, before we go too far, I want to draw your attention to what Paul says here in verse 7. And again, here's a case where the original Greek really sheds light on what's going on here. In the Greek, it literally says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory. And the Greek word here is mysterion. Does that sound a little familiar? It is where we get our English word mystery, mysterion. And it's important here to see why Paul uses this word here, what he means by that word. He does not mean that it's some kind of a puzzle that we need to try to unravel or put together and try to figure out. He doesn't mean that it's some deep secret that only an exclusive few are allowed to know. For example, there are some cults out there who, once you first join their organization, there are certain things that they won't allow you to know until you've been with them for a while. Once you've been with them for a while and you show a little bit more commitment, dedication, then they start revealing a little bit of their secrets. Mormons are like that. They have a lot of secrets in the temple that until you've really gotten in there, are you allowed to know these things? But there are certain mysteries. But those are not what Paul's talking about here. What he is talking about is a knowledge or a truth of God that only God can comprehend, and that we can only know when he chooses to reveal it to us. Webster's Dictionary, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. When it comes to spiritual things, sometimes you can't trust what Webster has to say, but he hit it dead on this one. It's a great definition. Webster's Dictionary defines mystery as a religious truth that can only be known by the revelation of God, in this case, and cannot fully understand. A religious truth that one can only know by revelation and otherwise can't fully understand. The root word of this Greek word for mystery is muo. It actually means to shut your mouth or keep a secret. There are certain things that God just does not tell us. And in the context of Paul's message here, we will only be able to know these things when God chooses to reveal them to us and when he allows us to understand. Of course, through the Holy Spirit, right? It's the Holy Spirit that's revealing this to us. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in the coming weeks, how the Holy Spirit works in that regard. But in verse 7, Paul calls it the hidden wisdom of God. In verse 10, he calls it the depths of God. And then verse 11, the thoughts of God. No one knows except the Spirit of God. Verse 12 says that the things freely given to us by God. And then verse 13, Paul refers to them as spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. In verse 16, they're called the mind of Christ. There are those spiritual things that God knows, and only certain people are allowed to know those mysteries of God's wisdom when he reveals it to them. So who are these people then that God chooses to reveal these mysteries to? Well, Paul tells us here in verse 6, it's among the mature that we do impart this wisdom. And the Greek literally says, we speak among them that are perfect. The word that Paul uses here for mature or perfect is the Greek word teleos. It refers to someone who has been made complete, someone who has been perfect, made perfect, someone where a work has already been completed, has been finished. And we see a similar use of this word in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. It says, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. For those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, for those who have given their life to the Lord, who loves God, to those who have been saved, they have been made perfect. God's work is already completed. And as Christians, we are already mature in terms of sanctification, he says. God sees us as sanctified. God sees us as holy right now in the person of Jesus Christ. There's a similar use of this word in the scriptures, which has to do with then an ongoing growing process in our faith and our knowledge of Christ. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14, we're told, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food is for the mature, for those that are perfected, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Once again, these are the ones who are saved. They've already been perfected in Christ, but now there's this ongoing maturity process going on as we become more like Christ, as we're maturing in Jesus. And in our passage this morning, the context here would suggest that Paul is talking about those who are saved, who have been perfected, that have been sanctified, those whom God sees as being holy in Christ. So why am I telling you all this? Well, that's a good question. The point is that God's secret, his mystery, is only for you and me, for those of us who are saved. And God continues to reveal those mysteries as we continue to mature. And verse 7 even says that God determined, he ordained. The word they use here is predestined. It kind of scares people, right? We've talked a lot about that in our men's study on Saturday. But in this case, it has the idea of being ordained. It was pre-established. God, based on what he knows, determined this before the ages. God chose what he was going to share, to whom he was going to share it, and when he was going to share it. And all that was determined before we were even born. But you got to remember, God isn't on our calendar. He's not on our timeline. You know, he's not just as unsure about tomorrow as we are. God's already there. God is eternal. And so he already knew before we were born if we were going to accept Jesus. He already knew what decisions we were going to make and not make. And God has a plan for all of that. But you know what? Paul, he's a smart guy here. He anticipates, you know, those people out there that are going to argue with him. And he would expect people to say, but Paul, that's not fair. Why would God choose to reveal it to some and not to others? Why not me? And so Paul, he answers that. He answers that argument. In verse 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. For those who love him. God, the creator of the universe, the one who existed eternally, knows all things, including the thoughts of you and me, knew who was going to accept Jesus. He knew who was going to receive his grace. And God also knew the exact timing of when you would accept the truth of Christ and give your life to him. And so at that perfect and predetermined time, God revealed the wisdom of the cross. You know, when we share the gospel with someone, and we do so out of obedience, but then there are some who just see it as total, utter foolishness. Apparently the time just isn't right for them. However, it's important that we realize we don't know God's timing. We don't know when God is going to reveal the truth of the cross to them. It's the Holy Spirit that's working in their lives. The Holy Spirit that's going to convict hearts. And so, but we still need to be sharing the truth. That God will share in his time. And as we've already mentioned, God will continue to reveal his secret wisdom as we grow in Christ. You know, the key to pull out of all this, the thing that's important to know is that God's timing is perfect. It's a good thing for that, right? God's timing is perfect. You know, sometimes God waits until we're mature enough to share his wisdom with us because we wouldn't understand it. Sometimes he'll withhold his wisdom until we've gone through a fire, through we've gone through the trials, so that we might learn something, that we might grow, we might gain some spiritual growth from it. He may withhold his wisdom until we've gotten through that, and then he may reveal it. The reason I let you go through that was because perhaps he is withholding it just so that we will trust him. You know, if we think that we understand it all, we've got it all figured out, who are we going to rely on? We're going to rely on our own understanding, right? Sometimes God withholds just so that we'll trust him. But his timing is always perfect. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. This is a great, great illustration where we see God revealing his mysteries. Daniel chapter 2, as was often the case in the Old Testament, we see God revealing his wisdom or mystery through dreams. And here in Daniel, God revealed his plan for the ages through a dream of Nebuchadnezzar. However, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't able to understand it. He wasn't able to interpret the dream. He couldn't get what God's wisdom was here. So scripture tells us that he called upon several wise men. He called on the wisdom of other men. Daniel chapter 2, picking up with verse 1, says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. He couldn't sleep. It bothered him so much. And then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king what these dreams were about. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know this dream. So tell me, what does it mean? Well, verse 10, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. And then verse 12 tells us that the king became very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. You might want to think twice before you claim to be a wise person. Well, obviously we can see the Lord working here in Daniel's life. Because in verse 16, Daniel went in and requested the king to give him a time that he might show the interpretation to him. And so Daniel went to the king, claiming to have wisdom, obviously God's wisdom. And look what happened, verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Verse 30. But as for me, This mystery wisdom was revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than any other living thing, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. And then look at what King Nebuchadnezzar said to Daniel, verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, Daniel, truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. It was God's chosen time to reveal that mystery through Daniel. It was in his God's timing. Jesus spoke about these same kinds of mysteries in Mark chapter 4:11. To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, get everything in parables. So those that don't have the Lord, who don't have that relationship, to them it's just a bunch of craziness, a bunch of parables, he calls it. Ephesians 1:8-9 says, in all wisdom and insight he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. The church in Colossae, again, Paul writes to them, chapter 1, verse 25 through 27, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. And what is that? That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known. And what is that? The riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's one other passage I wanted to share with you, and that's out of Revelation. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished. It's finished. As he preached to the servants and prophets. That's awesome. That's awesome. When the seventh trumpet is finally sounded, we will know that this world as we know it will come to an end, and the kingdom of our Lord is going to begin. That's cool. And it says the dead will be judged, the saints will be rewarded, and the mystery of God's purpose for man will be completed. It will be finished. But until that time, there's going to be some mysteries of God's wisdom that's going to be kept from us until he chooses to reveal it, until he feels it's necessary. Now, about this time, it probably has brought up a couple of questions in your mind. It did in mine as well. Why does God keep his wisdom a mystery? Yeah, a ministry. Why does he keep his wisdom a mystery at times? What's his purpose in keeping some secrets? Leave it to Paul to even answer those questions in verse 7. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Paul says that he reveals, he keeps some of this secret wisdom and reveals some of it for our glory. God will reveal his mystery, his wisdom, when it's the perfect timing, so that we can understand Christ even more fully, and that we can bring all the glory to Christ. Now, speaking of this whole idea of glorification, which Paul talks about here, the glory of Christ, that we would understand that. The Bible speaks of a couple different phases of this glorification. First of all, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're told that we are glorified. Romans chapter 8, 29 and 30. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, I have to tell you, our men's study on Saturday morning, that's the passage we're currently on. We've been on this passage, 3 weeks now? And I don't know that we're even close to finishing it. There's so much meat here. But the point is, when we, the moment that we are saved, God looks at us through Christ. He sees the glory of Christ. He sees the glory of Christ. But then the Bible speaks about an ongoing continuation, transforming process where we become more like the image of Christ. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So even though we, God sees us at the moment of salvation, sees us in Christ, sees us righteous in Christ, sees the glory of Christ, there's an ongoing process that goes on where God continues to make us more and more like the image of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. There's an ongoing process going on. God reveals his wisdom, specifically the wisdom of the cross, to those who love him. And then he continues to reveal his wisdom that we might be transformed into Christ's glory. When you talk about the wisdom of the cross, really, isn't that the ultimate? Isn't that the ultimate wisdom of God? Why would God keep that wisdom a mystery? Why would he only reveal the wisdom of the cross to certain people? Once again, Paul even addresses that. Listen to what he says, verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God kept the wisdom of the cross a mystery from some, so that the plan of salvation would be fulfilled. Think about it for a moment. What if the Jewish leaders at that time, what if the Roman officials, what if they would have understood what this whole thing was about? What if they understood God's plan and sacrificing Jesus on the cross? And what if they would have understood the whole detail of that? Chances are pretty good that they would not have sacrificed Jesus. Amen? So God withheld that from them so that his plan would be fulfilled. Verse 9 tells us that God blinded their eyes. Says that he shut their ears. He hardened their hearts so that they would not understand the wisdom of the cross. So that the whole plan of salvation would be fulfilled, would be completed, would be available to those who love him, we're told. And you know, even to this day, God is still withholding some of the wisdom of his. He's still revealing some of his wisdom to those who he foreknew before man was even created was going to love him. You know, we may never understand God's full wisdom. And there's always going to be some of God's wisdom that will be kept from us until we get to heaven. But as I mentioned earlier, God's wisdom is so far superior than ours that sometimes it just has to be, it must remain a mystery to us because we can't comprehend it. We just can't understand sometimes the ways of God. And so he has to withhold it. Well, there's one final reason why I believe that God keeps back some of his secret wisdom. Look back at verse 5. That your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. As I kind of mentioned earlier, I truly believe that sometimes God withholds some of his wisdom from us so that as His children, we would see His power, we would see His providence, that we would rely solely on Him. You know, if we understood it all, if we had the whole picture, sometimes we could get a little full of ourselves. And so God just gives us just enough of what we need, but then withholds some so that we would rely solely on Him. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, many of us are familiar with it. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses what? All comprehension. Those things that we don't understand will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." When we can't understand what God's doing, when it just doesn't make any sense at all, when it all seems like craziness, we can trust God. We can give all of our anxieties to Him. God promises that if we just trust Him, that He will guard our hearts. He will give us peace. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. So the next time that you're sharing the good news with somebody, which we all should be doing, and they just don't seem to be understanding it, just not quite getting it, just know that God's working in their life, but it's not His perfect timing yet. That time will come, but it just may not be God's timing to reveal that wisdom yet. But we need to stay faithful. We need to continue sharing the good news, because you never know who God has prepared, who has revealed that wisdom to. But we need to share the truth. And then in those moments when we are going through those difficult times, you know, how many times have we cried out, "God, what are you doing? What's this all about? What's the point in this? Why am I having to deal with this problem?" You know what? Sometimes He doesn't want us to know. We just need to trust Him. Just turn it all over to Him and know that He is, in fact, in control. And He's got a purpose for it. He's got a plan, a perfect plan. Just remember that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And you are being transformed daily into the image of Jesus. That is comforting to me. When I don't understand, when it doesn't make any sense, God's got a purpose. His wisdom is far, far greater than my wisdom. And we can trust that. God, we are just thankful for your reminder. Your reminder that you are God. The reminder that you have wisdom beyond anything we could ever comprehend. Nothing surprises you. Nothing catches you off guard. You're in the beginning. You're in the end. There is no beginning. You are eternal. You've seen it all. You know what's coming. And you have a plan. You have a purpose. So, Father, may we just take these reminders this morning and apply them. May we just, again, be reminded that we can trust you. Thank you, God. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that all things will work out for good if we just love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.